It's one of his series of sermons written last year. You've been here over the last few months. You'll have heard a few other of these sermons. They coincide last year with the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And this sermon is titled, it's the second one, titled Solus Christus, by Christ Alone. And our text is John chapter 14, page 1070 in the Pew Bibles. So John chapter 14, we'll read the first six verses. And here we hear what Jesus says to his disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the topic in the sermon, as I said, is that salvation is found by Christ alone. In the Protestant Reformation, the Latin slogan, Solus Christus, Christ alone, that conveys a completely exclusive message about salvation. Solus Christus expresses the complete sufficiency of Christ alone for salvation. Now, to his disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem, Christ himself expresses this truth with a declaration of who he is, saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, Jesus is in the upper room in Jerusalem. The words of Christ recorded in this chapter come after the treachery of Judas and the predicted failure of the Apostle Peter. It would not be long before Jesus would go to his death at Calvary. And here Jesus comforts his gathered disciples with the promise of a permanent future dwelling place with God. And Jesus clearly states that he is the only way to God, the only truth of God, and the only life of God. So we'll look closely at what he says under those three points. So Christ alone is the way to God. Now, if you were to have a look at a map of Wellington or of the Hutt Valley, you'll see streets or roads or avenues or paths or crescents, and there are many routes that you can take to travel to get from one place to another. But in the Greek language, there is one word, hodos, which is used many times in the New Testament, and that one word is variously translated as road or street or path or way. So when Ben returns and starts preaching, carries on from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, some seeds fall on the path. And that is used, that is the Greek word hodos. And here in our text, Jesus uses this word when he says, I am the way. And we know in the book of Acts that the word hodos or way is sometimes used to identify the followers of the Christian faith. The way here is the link between God and fallen people who are estranged from their Creator through sin. The way is like a bridge spanning the chasm between a holy God and a naturally unholy people, between the perfectly clean and the filthy, between the living and the dead. The way here is the means of travelling from the fallen condition of natural mankind into the perfect presence of God Almighty. And when he says, I am. Jesus uses two words in the original language which convey the truth that he is divine. So God himself used the Hebrew equivalent of these words, as Hans read for us earlier when he said to Moses, I am who I am. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So notice here that people like you and me, we are not saved by a principle. We are not saved by an idea. We are not saved by a philosophy, not saved by a force, but saved by a person like none other. He is both God and man, both fully divine and fully human. In the words of the Westminster Confession of Faith, Jesus has two whole, perfect and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition or confusion. Which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Now, a mediator is a person who acts as an intermediary, a go-between, who attempts to make people involved in a conflict to come to an agreement. We sometimes hear of this in the news of mediatorial roles or go-betweens being appointed in industrial conflicts, don't we? And God has appointed Jesus as the only mediator between himself and mankind, the sole go-between, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is the essence of what Jesus means when he says, I am the way. Jesus Christ is the only way from God to man. All divine blessings come down from the Father through the Son. Jesus said in Matthew 11, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Jesus Christ is also the only way from man to God. So read in 2 Corinthians 5. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. Christ teaches us the way. Christ guides us in the way. Christ has opened up for us a new and living way, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10. However, it's not that Jesus blazes a trail, blazes a way, which we are then to follow in order to get to God by way of imitating Christ in every action, word, or thought, or that other people help us to travel that way, because that would be a salvation of works and not of grace. It is not only so much that Jesus points us to the way, he himself is the way. So the word way here is a noun which describes who Jesus is. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus brought comfort to his gathered disciples with these words, as we read from John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He is the only way for his disciples, and that, brothers and sisters, wonderfully includes you and me. He is the only way to attain to the many dwelling places which he has prepared in his Father's house. Now, not long after saying these words, I am the way, the dead body of Jesus would hang on a cross. And at that time, it looked like he was leading the way to death, not to life. But we also see that Christ alone is the truth of God. Because when Jesus was at his civil trial, Pontius Pilate asked Christ the question, what is truth? And do you know the answer to that question? What is truth? And the word truth in the Greek language has the meaning without being hidden or concealed. The word truth conveys the idea of that which is seen or expressed as it really is. So if you're asked to be a witness in a trial in court, the attendant may say to you, will say to you, raise your right hand. Do you swear that you will tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And then you say, I do, and you sit down. And in reality, the question the court attending is asking is, are you willing to come into this courtroom and manifest something that is hidden to us that only you know, so that you will bear true evidence to that? Therefore, when you speak the truth, you are manifesting a hidden reality, a reality which is then correctly set forth. Truth then is the correspondence between a reality and a declaration which professes to set forth or describe the reality. God is himself, of course, the great reality, the God who is. And he correctly sets forth his nature with the truth of creation, which we will call general revelation. And he also correctly sets forth his nature with the truth of Scripture, which we call special revelation. But brothers and sisters, it is not surprising that rebellious, sinful people, they actively suppress the truth of creation and the glorious Creator. We read that in Romans 1 verse 18. And they even go so far as to exchange this clearly manifested, objective reality of creation for a lie. Now, God's word, the Bible, conveys truth to mankind. In the Old Testament, it conveys many truths, but not all are fully revealed. They provide shadows and types of who was yet to come. So we can think of the manna from heaven, the water from the rock, the bronze serpent that was raised up, and the daily sacrifices. And there were also many individuals raised up to be saviors and deliverers of the people of Israel. Think of Moses, or Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, or Gideon and the other judges. But when Jesus declares, I am the truth, he conveys the truth that he alone completely reveals all the truths of general and special revelation which were previously hidden in the types and shadows of the Old Testament. He alone is the fulfillment of the law and prophets. Jesus alone precisely reveals and narrates God to us. As the gospel writer John puts it at the start of his gospel in chapter 1, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. He himself is the gracious self-disclosure of God himself. John continues, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He always said, that is, Jesus always said and did, exclusively what the Father gave him to say and do. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise, Jesus said. Jesus said, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus Christ alone is the Saviour of the world, of the Word. Jesus Christ alone is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ alone is the one who speaks, so that those in the graves hear his voice and come forth. Jesus Christ alone is completely reliable and trustworthy in all that he does, says, and is. He reveals the whole truth that God has decreed that is for mankind to know. And he reveals nothing but the truth. His word is truth. He is truth, just as God is truth. Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of truth, truth in a person. Jesus is a dependable source of redemptive revelation because Jesus truly reveals the Father. He expresses this to his disciples in the upper room in verse 7 of our chapter. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And again, not long after saying these words, Jesus would appear before Pontius Pilate, who would ask that question, "What is truth?" And then, having listened to the evil lies of false witnesses, this Roman ruler would then proceed to authorize the execution of the world's only truly innocent man. We also see that Christ alone is the life of God. Now, you may be aware that there are two Greek words for life which are used in the New Testament, bios and zoe. And from bios we get the English word biography, which is a story of a person's life. And in Greek thinking, bios is the higher of those two words, because biographies are accounts of significant people who exercised their intellect and will, who directed their energies to moral, to intellectual or social ends. And then from the Greek word zoe, we get the English word zoology. And zoe describes the essential essence of life, and hence it is used for both human and animal life. And when Jesus says, "I am the life," he uses that word zoe, not bios. He turns Greek philosophical thinking on its head. He also used the word zoe when he says to Martha, grieving over the death of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And he uses the word zoe when he says of the final judgment to come in Matthew chapter 25, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So here is truth. The essence of death is separation from God, not a lack of bodily existence. That is why we can rejoice in our grief over the death of someone we know who has had faith in Jesus Christ. Because though that person may have died, yet they still live. And here is the truth. The essence of life is communion with God, not the possession of a bodily existence. Do you know what was the last thing that Jesus did before he left the upper room in Jerusalem, before he went out to be met by his betrayer? He prayed. And in that prayer he said, "And this is eternal life, Zoe, that when they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus has life within himself. He is life as opposed to death. He is the light of life as opposed to darkness. Within a short time after saying these words, the corpse of Jesus would be placed in a tomb. Yet he did not stay there. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he was the first fruits of all who belong to Christ and will be raised up bodily to eternal life in him when he returns. Jesus is the true way, the living way, the only way to God. Jesus alone rightly says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Thomas Kempis, who is a German who became a priest in the Netherlands in the 14th century, he authored, as many of you may be aware, one of the best-known Christian books on devotion, The Imitation of Christ. And in that book, he reflects on our text from John 14, verse 6, with these words, "Follow thou me. I am the way and the truth and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without life, there is no living. I am the way which thou must follow, the truth which thou must believe, the life which thou must hope. I am the inviolable way, the infallible truth, the never-ending life. I am the straightest way, the sovereign truth, life true, life blessed, life uncreated. Jesus is the only way, the true way, the living way to God. So what does that mean for us? Well, firstly, great comfort if we know him as Lord and Saviour. That a place in the house of our Heavenly Father has already been prepared for us by Christ alone. And so when our hearts are troubled, as we witness the evil that other people seek to bring upon the name of Christ and his church, we know that Christ is the reigning King, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his bride, the church. When our hearts are troubled by our own failures, our own weaknesses, our ongoing unholiness, we know that we are saved, not by our own works, not even by the strength of our faith, but by Christ alone. We have a visible reminder of this next week as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, when we confess that our faith, our salvation, is in Christ alone. And there is more. If it is true, and it is, that the only way to be right with God is through Jesus Christ, then that, of course, means all religions apart from Christianity are false. Now, of course, that's a bold claim to make in a pluralistic, politically correct, and tolerant world. It's a bold claim, and it's a true claim. It's the claim Jesus makes in our text. If it is true, and again, it is true, that the only way to be right with God is through Jesus Christ, then there is a compelling necessity upon us to proclaim Christ. So, have that list of family or friends that you know who are outside the Christian churches, and pray through that list. Ask the Lord for opportunities to explain what salvation by faith alone and Christ alone by grace alone means. Ask to meet these people for a coffee or invite them over to your home for a meal. Maybe invite them to your Bible study group and encourage them to come and worship with you. But we must all see that there is an urgent need to speak this word of life to others. To be willing and able to simply, clearly, and convincingly convey the truth of the gospel. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks that indeed you have sent your Son to be the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. That we are saved not on anything that we could do ourselves, because we can do nothing of ourselves to save ourselves, Lord. That our salvation rests solely on Christ alone. Lord, we pray that we may reflect on this and be reminded and convinced of this week as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper again next week, that we may have faith that we are saved by Christ alone. Lord, we all of us have loved ones, family members or friends who may have turned away from the faith or do not know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we pray that you would send the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts to bring about repentance. Lord, we pray that we may have opportunities to talk about Jesus to our loved ones, that we may all be ready to give an answer to the question when we are asked for what is the reason for the hope that is within us. Lord, at this time we particularly pray for the ladies who help with mainly music during the school terms, Lord, as they have weekly opportunities to talk to parents, especially from this local community, Lord, to talk about faith in Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll be with those ladies, Lord, from our congregation who take part in this ministry, that you may give them the wisdom and the words and the confidence to quite simply and clearly convey the truth of the gospel. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us in this week ahead. We pray all this in your name. Amen.